Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and with me is James Montemagno. Hey, yep. James.
How's it going?
Good. James is a developer evangelist with Xamarin, and James is here to show us Xamarin tooling, the extension inside Visual Studio, and show us how to write mobile apps on all three of the major platforms, Windows Phone, iOS, Android, using Visual Studio and C# code. And this is the second of four episodes we're going to do. In the previous episode, which we thought was going to be half an hour, but it wound up being almost an hour.
Good conversation, though.
Great conversation. So if you haven't seen that one, you should probably go watch it. We did an overview of Xamarin, and then we built three simple apps and showed how to share code using file linking. Mm-hmm. But what you can do today is use portable class libraries. And so what we're going to do is devote this episode to portable class libraries.
Yep.
And for those of you who are not aware what a portable class library is, it's basically a library that can be used across multiple platforms. And at compile time, the only code you're allowed to put in there is code that the compiler knows runs across multiple platforms. We've had portable class libraries in the product for a while. And we're used to creating a new one. You get to choose between .NET Framework, Silverlight, Windows Phone, Windows 8. And then that limits you to what code you can put in there. But what is new with your tool is we now add Android and iOS to the mix.
Absolutely,
and again, it's all C#. So, you know, maybe it cuts down again the amount of code that you can put in there. Maybe we can spend a couple of seconds talking about that. But basically, any code that literally runs across all of those, whether it's the Windows runtime or the Mono runtime running on those two platforms, you put that code in a portable class library, and you can share it.
Absolutely,
That's basically what we're going to see.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So give us a brief overview of that, and then we'll dive into code.
Sure, yeah. So like Robert said, if you haven't watched the very first episode, go back, so we really dive deep into our Xamarin approach. And you know, Xamarin's different. It's all about creating native user interfaces, native performance, but writing all your code in C#,
yep,
sharing it across all platforms, using the IDEs and tools that you love like Visual Studio 2013. And we have full API coverage. So we see this model, our core logic library that we'll talk about with portable class libraries, shared across all projects, tying in the user interface on each of them.
Yep, so your business layer, your data access layer, all that code you're gonna write in C# and put in a portable class library.
Yep.
And then you're going to write the UI and the UI code in C# for those other platforms.
Yep, exactly, right. Yeah. You know, a few months ago, we had the major partnership announcement. Somo was on stage talking at the Visual Studio 2013 launch. We launched same-day support for Visual Studio 2013. And with that, you know, portable class libraries have been around for a while, since Visual Studio 2010.
Yeah.
But the big issue with that was that kind of restrictions that were on them. There's only on Windows, you know,
right,
which is great if you're writing all Windows apps, but what if you are doing Android, iOS? So not only did this partnership come out, we also launched Xamarin University. With that was just huge for MSDM members and for anyone looking to get up and started with C#, iOS, Android, and Windows development. 30 days learning everything. Go to xamarin.com/university. But let's talk about portable class libraries. Like, just like you said, Robert, this is what they looked like. I popped this up, I think, in VS 2012 before the announcement, took a snapshot. We can see I can go in and target 4.5, Windows Phone, Windows Store apps. And it's great, one assembly, mm-hmm, multiple platforms. It's exactly how you'd want it to work. You go in, debug, just like it was, you know, any shared code, right? But after the announcement, this is what it looked like, right? So you can see now we are adding Android and iOS in. So when you go in and select your targets, you now have the ability to choose, do I want to do Windows Store, Windows Phone, and Android and iOS,
yep,
development, right? Go ahead and click those right there. And we did talk a little bit, maybe that's what we wanted just a few seconds on, is, you know, what can I use? Because portable class libraries are a subset,
right,
of .NET library. And
because it's code that runs across all of these platforms.
Exactly. So anything is platform independent, right? So if you're trying to interact specifically with a camera or something like that, well, that's not, can't be used. The same camera code can't be used even on Windows Store or Windows Phone,
right,
apps, right? So it has to be platform independent code. And you can obviously get around that with some interfaces and abstraction layers, right? And I do that all the time. I've always done that. So you can see here's just a few features, and everything is super well documented, mm-hmm, on MSDN. So you can go in and look at all the documentation. But so we have Core, Link, iQueryable, and you know, iQueryable is only available on Windows Phone 7.5, mm-hmm. for instance, and above. HTTP client was only in 4.5 and above, not on Windows Phone out of the box. But what's great here is not only portable class libraries to share this code, but these missing gaps in here are all really handled by NuGet, to be honest with you. So here's just a few tiny, just a small list, tiny list of what were relicensed during this to be used on Android, iOS, everything. So from the async library, HTTP client libraries, you can now install and use on everything, OdataLib, anything, basically. These are all just Microsoft NuGet libraries, but there's tons of them out there. You know, whether you're creating NuGet libraries and sharing them, I do it all the time, you can simply now pull into either your portable class library or your actual Android, iOS, or Windows Phone projects.
So how would you, is there any way to know for any given NuGet library whether or not it can be used in a portable class library cross-platform? Is it really just kind of test it out and see?
Hopefully they documented it well,
Okay. Mostly.
A lot of times what you'll see when you go to NuGet and you search for something, you'll actually see this supports .NET 4.5, PCL, Xamarin, and Android. You know, a lot of times, Daniel Playset from the .NET Framework team, he has a portable storage class to actually interact with the storage on each platform.
Right.
And he says in there, this is what it works with, and here's how it works. Check out my CodePlex, you know?
So, yeah. All right, cool.
So that's it. Not a lot of slides this time. Perfect.
Yay.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. And I've created a pretty simple, well, I'm not even going to say simple. It's a pretty complex application. I wanted to go in, and I wanted to dive into portable class libraries. And I've watched a lot of episodes of VS Toolbox. So one thing that kind of resonated with me was this expense-taking application that you've built a few times. Now, I don't get that crazy complex. I didn't have that many days to put everything together. But I wanted to show where I could start with an architecture, and then go from there, right? So start something out and build it cross-platform. And I started here with a Windows Phone project and a portable class library. And I could have gone in. So let's take a look at how you create a portable class library. It's as simple as going in, New Project. And under Windows, you'll see Portable Class Library.
Yep.
So as simple as that.
You actually see it under everything. You see it under Windows Store. You see
Windows
it under
Store,
Windows Phone. And there are not... There's not the Windows Store portable class library, the Windows portable class library, the Windows Phone portable class library.
It's one portable.
It just shows up in all of those places to make it really easy to get to.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm sure in one of the next updates, I'm sure it'll also be under Android and iOS as well.
It
should be. It really is. So when you go in here, now I've already created it, but we'll see what this looks like. And this is exactly what you
saw,
right?
That's a good point. That's a good feature request to take to the product team.
Yeah. So now when you're in here, you can select your different platforms.
Yep.
And that's it. So we're going to go and close out of this guy. But I've already done that. So if we look up at my myexpenses.portable, I'm going to zoom in and Hansel in it here for you again. I've structured this. It's this application that I'm going to build out. It's simple. We're starting out with a kind of a simple expense application. Mm-hmm. Stores everything in a SQLite database. So I can go out when I'm on the road. I travel a lot for work. So I'm going out. I want to jot down something when it's due, you know, what this bill is. Like, I drove here today out from Seattle. I want to make sure that my zip car, you know, is in there and expense is good to go, right? And I'm doing this all in an MVVM style, right? So if you don't know what MVVM is, watch some of Robert's episode. But it's like MVC, some more Vs and some more Ms, I like to say, right?
There you go.
So it's model view, view model. And the great part of that is it fits really well even with the mobile story, which is that take all my core business logic, you know, and anything that's going to represent my views on any platform and shove it in a shared library.
Right.
So we can see here, I have models and view models, and we'll go ahead and dive into those. And then I have a lot of other things in here, a lot of database things. So I've been doing a lot of enterprise development in the past. Like I said, I used to do printer software on the enterprise level. So I'm very used to data models and data layers and business layers, and I'm sure many of you are as well. So what I've done here is I have two simple models, and the first one is this expense model, which is very, very simple. This is what's going into my database, which is name, notes, a due date, a total, and a category, and if it's billable or not.
Right.
And then what I wanted to do is just kind of show off some HTTP functionality. So I created a little alert.cs, and it's very, very simple, and this is maybe some JSON that's stored on a web server. I go out and get this and notify my user from time to time. And we'll see that when I run the app. It's very simple. I have some JSON properties, obviously using JSON.net in here. So if I go to my references, I have a JSON.net, which is in a portable class library.
There's a good example of something you got out of NuGet that plugs in here.
Yep, exactly. And then also, you're probably wondering, well, if you're using HTTP client, how are you using our Windows phone? Well, when I go and take a look at my NuGet packages and I see what's installed, I can see that I have the HTTP client libraries, which extends HTTP client to portable class libraries that don't support it, which is as soon as I check Windows Phone, I don't get that namespace anymore. But with this, I can now take advantage of anything with HTTP client. So I add it there, and then I also add it into my Windows Phone project as well.
Cool.
So, and there's tons of, like I can see I have, you know, Toolkit and everything else you'd expect in Windows Phone. So how I've architectured this is that is just the two models. Yep. Of course, I have a view model base. I shove tons of stuff in a view model base. I think everybody does. This is where I'm implementing my iNotify property change when things change. I'm always dealing with lists that can load more. So I always have an isBusy property, and I have special actions that you could subscribe to. But mostly, I'm just doing it on property changed. And then I have a can load more.
Right.
Just for some reason, I find myself dragging and dropping this file into every single one that I create. I should just create a NuGet to do it for me, to be honest. It has no DLLs, just one file. So there's that. And now each of my view models, I have an expenses view model and an expense, which is like an expense details. So inside of here, I have an observable collection of expenses. Mm-hmm. I have the ability with some I commands and some relay commands that I've implemented over here in my helpers.
Okay.
All right, so a lot of this is now I'm using all this,
straightforward MGVM, which again is one of the key takeaways of this, and one of the key reasons to do this is because, you know, here we are, you're showing us Xamarin and you haven't yet showed me anything new.
Nothing new, right?
Which is cool. This is part of the big point.
Yep. Right here I have, when I load more expenses, I check to see if I need to load the alert. So this is all async await. I'm awaiting that. And then here, I have this expense service, and you might be wondering what that is. So again, I've architectured this so we could take this application to any way we want. I've made it very independent of what's going on in the background. So I have a very little interface that I even have. Look at this. I even have unit tests. You see this?
Cool.
Code Lens. Love it. It's so cool. I have like tests that are going on here as well. So a very simple, there you go, and they both pass. I made sure that that worked before I did. So I go in here and I have a very simple interface, get expense, get expenses, and these are all tasks, right, and delete an expense. So this is nice, because in my services, we'll see that I've just simply implemented that interface. Mm-hmm. Now, in this instance, for this part of the demo, I am
using SQLite.
SQLite database.
But you could call
Azure service.
You could call a mobile service.
Ido.net, anything.
Potentially call an internal WCF service.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But this is great because now we could take this and extend it and do whatever we want, right? But for this purpose, I just have a simple data SQLite database out of async awaitified.
Okay.
Basically. So that's pretty great. Let's go ahead and close these guys out. So see, I get my expenses, add the expenses. I have a delete command to delete it. Again, pretty simple.
Yep.
Then I have this load command. So this is that HTTP client. Let's go back down to it. Here, where are we at? HTTP client to load alert, create an HTTP client. I have a little string that I've hosted. And then I'm using deserialize. This object, I could peek in. I just create a little wrapper here. I love peak definition. It's like the coolest thing ever, right?
Yeah.
So I just, again, wrapping. I do a lot of things on the background. Why stress your UI when you can just run some stuff? Who knows how big that JSON's going to be,
exactly.
Right? These things are fast, but at some point, you can have a lot of text. And then I'm going to go ahead and pop up a dialog box. And this is some platform abstraction that I did. And I have a message dialog service that I've implemented on each platform, right?
So we're going to have a link to this code in the show description, right? This is all on GitHub?
It's all on GitHub,
okay.
Yeah. Yep. So all this will be available to you, the final source code.
Yep.
Yeah, so you can dive in deeper. I don't want to go too deep into it. So now we have
In the previous, in the first episode, we did a very simple, you know, click a button. And here we're showing that you can build apps that are as complex as you need them to be.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I mean, this is in no way trivial, right? I mean, there's a lot of things going on here, all MVVM style.
Yep.
If I look at my expense view model, I abstract out my actual expenses. So when I initialize it, I read the properties from my expense that I have. That way I'm not actually changing the data, data item at all. Raising property change notifications, and then I have a way to save it all here on the very bottom. Mm-hmm. So I set it, pull it back into my data model, save it to the database, and then update the UI, right? So that's just two view models. Just imagine as this thing grows, and I'm taking photos, I'm doing this, and who knows, I'm connecting up, and I'm logging in, right? All that code, that's a lot of code, HTTP client, database, it's all in my portable class library, right? So let's see how I linked it up into my Windows Phone app. Now you can see I have quite a few libraries in here. Like I use Toolkit basically a lot, but I have my two main views. So I have an expenses view, and I used Blend to create the UI for these. So I have my sample data down in here. So again, I can even create sample data from my data objects. This guy reloads the designer. There we go. So from my sample data, I have a full view over here that I can go into. We can pump this guy up a little bit. There we go. So we get a nice little view. I have an add button down here. Let's look at my long list selector. Mm-hmm. You know, all XAML.
Yep.
You know, you've done a binding to the properties, the name. I have a due date long display, total display that I'm going to display over here that are all on my model to display. Now if I look at the code behind, there's really not that much. I get a reference to my expense view model using a little IOC stuff. And then when I navigate, I see if I need to update. I execute that command.
Yep.
I could have data bound that somehow, if I really needed to, but this makes it really easy. When I select an item, I'm going to navigate across. This is like standard implementation. I have a context menu. When I long press, I'm going to delete it, call out to the delete. And then when I hit new, I'm going to go to the new page and not pass in any arguments. You can see here I pass in a selected item. Here I do not. Right?
Yep.
So let's see what this guy looks like. All right, so we can see right away, I've actually set some breakpoints down inside of the portable class library. So we should be able to go ahead and step through this. It's going to go up to a web service, and I've data bound with a visibility alert. Oh, if it didn't, oh, I might have. Maybe I don't have internet. I'm not positive. We'll see. No, should have gone through. We'll check it again in the next run. But we can go through. I have a few defaults here. So I have a phone bill, business dinner, rental car that I put in. So this is sample data I put in. Should be able to click on one of these. I got a nice edit expense form. Could go in, modify this. It was really $90 this month. Some overages, right? I saved it by accident. All right, so I can go back in. Let's do 90 again. Change this one. Get nice views here. Could change the due date. Mm-hmm. So right, all native look and feel my Windows Phone app, but everything is going to be in my, and boom, 90, different due date, good to go. Could create a new one right in here as well.
Yep.
So pretty simple, but at the same time, everything, all my SQL code tying up to the back end is all there. Kind of curious to see if it was to launch again. I even create a little icon. Yeah, I might have lost internet on this laptop, so that's why that guy didn't work and just kind of threw down an exception there. No big deal. Right. We'll see if we can debug that on Android. So we'll leave those breakpoints in there. So there we go. We got our Windows Phone app, right?
Cool.
Cool. Let's bring
now
it
you're
over.
Told, hey, that's great, but we need to support the other platforms.
All right. Well, it's really convenient that we targeted Android and iOS, right, in our portable class library. So you could go in and you could go ahead and say add new project. Go into Android or iOS and create mm-hmm. these, right? Now, I've done this ahead of time because we only have so much time.
Right. We don't want to go. We showed how to do this in the previous episode.
Yeah. And all this source code will be available. So I'm going to go into an existing project. And I'll see I have my myexpenses.android project. Let's go ahead and open that guy up. So here we go. So now we have my myexpenses.android. Now I've already referencing
the portable class library.
My myexpenses.
As well as NewtonSoft.json and SystemXML, et cetera.
Exactly. And just like just like NuGet has, you go in here and go and say manage NuGet. We also have components as well.
Okay.
So they're very similar to NuGet. Oh, see, I don't have internet.
Okay. And these are components on the Xamarin component store.
The Xamarin component store. So you can go in here and these are specific. You were asking earlier about NuGet. How do you know if things are specific? You know, components are a lot of UI elements, a lot of, you know, some are paid, some are not paid. Mm-hmm. So it's our own little mini store when it comes to that. So, all right, let's take a look here and dive in. So I have a views folder. And again, just like we saw, kind of had two views over on Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. I have a few views here. And my expenses activity. So we talked about a little bit how pages are kind of like activities in Android. Everything's a little bit decoupled. So here I go out. Again, I'm getting a reference to my resolve to get my expenses view model. I show a different spinner when the busy is changed.
And again, in the resources views, you have the actual AXML files.
Yeah, this guy right here, view expenses. Okay. So let's take a look at that actually. So inside of my resource, we have a lot of different files in here now for different screen resolutions. If we go into view expenses, which is what this guy's loading up.
There it is.
There we go. There's actually nothing in here. We don't have a designer, but what you'll actually see is on their properties that I have a list view in here. There's a linear layout and a list view.
Okay.
And what I'm going to put in that is this item expense. If I change the theme here, I'm using a light theme because I really like light themes. So you can go in and you can change. This is every theme available.
What is Holo?
It's a Holo. Yeah, it's a Holo theme. Holo theme. Yeah, it's just something that Google came up with, and there's Holo and Holo Light.
Okay.
And it's just kind of they've reskinned their UI controls basically.
Okay.
So it's a style. So what we can see here is I have a cell. So it's not inside my expenses. It's actually its own AXML file, Android XML. Name and expense, due date. And then when I select one of those, I want to navigate to it. I come over to this view expense, which again will have total, name, notes, a date picker in here. Again, I have a full toolbox available to me, so I could do this. In fact, what I could do is, you know, I don't actually want these here. Let's go ahead and drag this down. I want to put the total under the name, right? That's great. That changes all the Android XML for me, so my total is now underneath the name, and I'm good to go, right? Cool. So now what I do is inside my expenses activity, when I start up, so on start, I go out, I execute that load expenses command, and then I create this adapter. So it's kind of like an item template. An adapter tells the Android list view or grid view how to display the data. So when I come into this expense adapter and I peek into here, we can see it's very similar. I have a getView method. And the getView method tells it to use item expense.
Okay.
Right? So now in our activity, we tell it we find the list. Oh, then we have to tell the list what's in it, right? And that's how we do it here with the name, due date, and total on there as well. Okay. The same thing here, my expense activity. I'm going out and I'm finding the different elements. Now, this was all data bound over on Windows Phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that here on Android. Now, there are some other frameworks built on top, but we're not really going to talk about that. But you can see here, I'm finding my different elements, an edit text, and a checkbox, and a spinner, which are the categories. And then when I go ahead and hit save, I load those back into my view model.
Yep.
So I'm kind of taking things out of my view model into my view model, right?
Manual binding.
Manual binding.
That takes me back.
Takes you back. Now, of course, with the Xamarin toolset, we can see that I have my Android device sitting here, and it's ready to debug. So let's go ahead and start a debugging session.
So you are connected to an actual Android device. You'd use one of the emulators.
Exactly. Yep. So now this is great because I'm going to, you know, Windows Phone has a very unique look and feel, right? And so does Android and so does iOS. So now over here, I'm getting this nice like light theme with this nice action bar. I'm hitting the same breakpoints. I feel like I'm still offline though. So I feel like this will probably throw an exception if I put a breakpoint in there. my assumption is it's going to time out after 5 seconds, yep. And it does because okay. I don't have any internet. So there we go, debugging problems
there
right on
go.
Here. Great. That'd been cool. It would pop up a nice alert, but luckily it's offline
that.
Mode.
Yep.
So I have in here, and I actually have a gas one that I put in earlier, so I could go in. I could actually delete this by long pressing I put in there. But again, I could go in, hit new. I could go in, add some, you know, drive over, get different views here to say this is, you know, $90 because this was my zip car. I don't think it was that expensive, but we'll pretend it was. I can actually do this on the phone or on this guy, but I can just go in and say, well, that was transportation. Mm-hmm. We can see this is dramatically different looking than Windows Phone, right?
Yeah.
This is looks like an Android application. I can set the do on there and then hit save up top. That's going to put it back cool. in here. And I'm good to go, right?
Yep.
Now, what's really cool, we can run this again. So I go back into my portable class library. We talk about adding features and things like that. I could go in and I should be able to now say, you know, it'd be really great if you were to add these expenses in a different way. What if I was to do like expenses equals expense dot sort? How do we do sorting? It's a good question. Dot do it, right? Let's do this.
Some kind of query, yeah?
Let's do this. What if we were only show, for instance, transportation? If expense dot category, then add it to the list, right?
Okay.
So this is cool because hopefully we'll go ahead and double check to make sure that's really what it's called. Yep, it's really what it's called. So now we should be able to debug this. And I've changed code in my portable class library. Okay, this will be reflected on all of my applications,
yes.
right? Which is really fantastic.
12.
You probably wouldn't want to actually put that, you know, that actual transportation check, but you could sort, you could do different things,
yeah.
right? But now we only get two
Perfect.
Instead of three,
yep.
right? 'Cause I'm my rental car, my zip car, right? And that's pretty good. So you can imagine you could add some filtering right into your portable class
yeah.
library. All right, last thing is obviously we want to add the iOS application, right? And again, you could go in, new project, iOS. For time's sake, we'll go in and add my expenses.iOS project. Here we are.
And it also has the reference to the portable
Boom.
Class library.
JSON.net,
yep.
right?
And then it has iOS-specific stuff.
Yep,
like
so
views
again, I have some components, some views that are in there.
Yep.
And I use something called monotouch.dialog, which was actually created by Miguel and the team that we've worked on over the years. It allows you to easily create user interface in iOS in just a few lines of
okay.
code and bind up, and that's what we're actually going to see. But again, we're going here in my view. I have an expenses view controller, so again, an iOS or UI kit. So I have a table view. It puts
mm-hmm.
a table view in there. Again, it's the same exact code, right? I'm just,
again,
you know, just
C-sharp.
A little bit of code.
Yeah.
So, okay, I have to call my view model here. That's not quite a lot of work instead of rewriting that code
yes.
every single time, right? So I have this, you know, go in and I'm creating my cells. And I display the text in a different way, navigate to my view controller. And this is all my code looks like here. It's create a root, a section, and different entry elements, and like that's it. So let's go ahead and take a look at this guy. Now again, I'm connected over to my Mac to build and to debug on, so I can see that my iPhone is plugged in. I've set this as my startup, put it at an iPhone. And hopefully if this guy is running, sometimes we might have to close my screen mirroring app. There we go. I told you, you don't have to really worry about one device or one little thing. I got everything going on all at once, and AirPlay and USB, it's all crazy, right? So this is going to go out, compile it up, and then should start a debugging session over here. And again, I'm only going to see one because we're already filtering. That filter's already in place, right? So I can go in. I have a like swipe to delete. If I want to delete that guy, I could go in. Add a new expense, so we'll say zip car. add a total, we'll say 90. Category, was that transportation? We'll make sure that that's due June, we'll say, right? And save it out. And there we go, right? Very I can go in, swipe to delete, have a full list here, and I'm good to go. Now, of course, I've architectured this, so now it's all offline, and that's great because I lost internet. But you can imagine I could easily tie this up into the back end.
Yep.
So before we get out of here, let's look at that code reuse. Just one line of code, one snippet to take a look at it. So here under my test folder, I did have my tests, but I also have this analysis. It's one file that's written that just goes and checks all of my files to see what code is shared. So here we go. Did some analysis.
Oh.
My total lines of code on each platform, unique code and shared code, and then the percentages. So you can see in this, because I've architectured it all out, I'm leveraging in this one 82%, 81%, all the way to 90% on iOS.
Yep.
Code reuse.
Sweet.
From one portable class library.
This is absolutely a great, phenomenal way to do cross-platform. Keep the skills you have. Obviously, you need to learn some new stuff, but you are not starting from scratch on two totally alien platforms, having to learn Objective-C and Java and other UIs. You obviously need to know the platform. You need to know how things work, but you're doing Visual Studio in C#. It's fantastic.
Exactly, and when you get started at xamarin.com/download, you know, we also have we have pre-built apps for you to get up and running with.
Yep.
My GitHub, tons of our GitHubs everywhere, and CodePlex is full of great samples, and get you up and running. Like I said, we talked about the documentation earlier. Yep. Great documentation on docs.xamarin.com and to cover everything, and tons of sample code too. So definitely check all that out.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so we are two episodes into our four-parter. Again, in the first one, we took a nice look at the introduction. That was in episode one. Here we looked at portable class libraries. So at this point, definitely urge you to go get the tooling, download the extension from Xamarin. There's a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at it. Play around with it. Absolutely use the sample apps. I started out with the Task app and started with Tasky Portable. And then I changed it to Customers, but I basically based it on that. I've learned a ton from the first episode and this one. So I know some things to do differently. Definitely going to get this one and play around with it and see what it means to build cross-platform apps using the Xamarin tooling, Visual Studio, and C#. It's great.
Absolutely, yeah. I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, it was great.
So in the third episode, we will do Azure Mobile Services. And then in the fourth episode, we'll take an existing .NET app and move it to phone, iOS, and Android.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens after that.
Absolutely. Who knows what's going to come next.
All right. So we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.